say. I don't know where I should go. I'm stuck in traffic on the road. I've got my dial on the radio. It's tuned to KROX. Let's go, 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 let's go.
Boy, oh, yesterday was lightning in the bottle and lightning coming out of my buns.
My sweater.
We hit those Taco Bell wings hard.
Yeah, we did.
I would like to thank Brandon for bringing those all the way from Kyle.
That dude is a trooper.
To the radio
him.
Station. And, you know, there's a stigma in radio about eating what we call listener food.
Yeah.
Or, in my case, taking what we call listener drugs. But the wings are really good. I don't know why everyone on the internet is S-ing on them or S-ing because of them.
It's the meme about Taco Bell, I think.
Exactly,
yeah.
But the wings were crunchy. As you said, Matt, they carried well. They didn't make us sick.
No.
That was good.
Yeah, there's nothing against listeners. It's just that in the past, a few listeners, not our market, but some other markets, the stories are out there. Listeners did some horrible stuff to food because they were fans of like another show and they yeah. would do something and then they would post about, you know.
Bacon so, acerole and
yeah,
bring
so,
it in.
So that you know, you got to always be careful. I will say that I had zero hopes for the wings and then I felt bad because I was like, these are fine.
Yeah.
They're fine. And like I said, they carried well. Yesterday, we couldn't find the Taco Bell wings, which,
no,
by the way,
we searched all afternoon.
Today's the last day you can get
today
them.
Today is the yeah. last day Taco Bell will have the wings, but I bet, like the McRib, it's going to come back.
Yeah. It's still weird to me. Like, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit in a Taco Bell. It
no,
doesn't make sense, and I think
it's
dumb.
Because they have the nacho cheese powder and the Taco Bell spices
there
on it.
No,
I guess that's their
okay,
angle.
I tasted zero nacho cheese. I tasted zero Taco Bell seasoning or whatever.
Just a good fried wing.
Well, also, I took a mouthful of cinnamon beforehand, so...
Oh, yeah, and almost lost it in the trash can. Yeah. That video's up, by the way, at Just Matt and CJ, or 101x.com, if you want to follow back of all our wacky adventures yesterday involving cinnamon and Taco Bell wings.
But we did have Taco Bell, because Spencer couldn't find the wings, but he did have to go to multiple Taco yeah. Bells, and like a really good human being... He brought us Taco Bell, which
we
promptly...
consolation prize.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
We still had tacos. Yeah.
Well, I stuffed that in my gullet, and then I went home, and my wife had made tacos.
Oh, no.
It's not a problem for me.
October all over again.
It's not a problem for me. You know how I am with tacos. Yeah. So I went to... Actually, I'm lying because we did not have tacos. I think I've told you that my family has pivoted to tostadas.
Nothing wrong with that.
And then my daughter couldn't figure out. She's like, you put so much lettuce on a tostada, and I don't understand. And I explained to her, well, I do that because on a tostada, one of the only places where I really like this, but on a tostada, I love sour cream.
Mm-hmm. Mm, yeah.
And she couldn't put two and two together at first, and I said, because your dad has a giant mustache. And if you have sour cream on a tostada... Then after every bite,
it disperses yep. it.
You're going to have sour cream mm-hmm. all over your mustache and you got to wipe it down. But the lettuce
smart
creates a wonderful barrier, a wonderful, crisp, healthy barrier between you and the sour cream. And then your mustache doesn't get all jacked up. Then take that helpful hint.
Yeah.
Ladies, into the future for yourselves.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Today is National Kiss a Ginger Day, so if you have a favorite redhead in your life, I'm looking at you, Spinny.
I got some red.
Give him a smooch. And the reason this day was started, because as we know, if you've ever watched South Park, gingers are often picked on because of their weird red hair, pale skin, and beady little white eyes. But this day encourages you to get out and celebrate redheads. And if any of you have known me or anyone I've ever dated, including my current fiance, you know I love me some redheads, even the wild ones that kiss back with their fists.
Red on the head,
pow, pow.
Fire in the bed. Also might beat you up with a light fixture.
Very true on all of that. Spinny, you are, well, you're a little more gray in now, but you're a redhead. You're a ginger.
Kinda. Just in the beard, mostly.
Okay.
Weirdly enough, yeah. That
really? Just in the beard?
Yeah.
Take the pants off. I want to check this out.
No, that's brunette down there, baby. Really? I got different colors of hair,
Carpet doesn't match the drapes or whatever you would call the beard.
No.
Yeah. But he does do a side part down there, just like on top of his head. It's pretty awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm proud of you.
You noticed,
great.
Thank you.
Yeah, I did, of course. Hey, someone, you've got one OnlyFan, and it is only this dude right here.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, baby. Mm-hmm.
But if you are out and about today and you see Spinny waffling around on his way home, is he wearing his sad shorts or happy shorts today?
No. I think he's happy today. I saw him in the lot. He had a spring in his step, and he is wearing his black jeans, and black jeans always says to me that he's in a good mood.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, Matt knows Spinny so well that he can immediately diagnose what's ever going on
in your life. He's like my doctor.
By what pants you're wearing.
Well, that can diagnose two things, where his attitude is and also what day in the laundry cycle is. Those are the two things I can tell from Spencer the way he's dressed, right?
Well, if you see him, give him a big old smooch.
People, it got really okay to be very cruel to redheads for a while. Like, they were the butt of a joke in every television show for a while.
Redheaded stepchild, the bastard demon seeds. Really weird, really bizarre. There was also some... Not when I was growing up, but when my mom was growing up, I'm just now remembering this. I'm left-handed, and my mom used to be left-handed, but her stepdad beat that hand, would swat it, and made her learn to write right-handed because left-handed was evil. And her sister, my aunt, was redheaded, and it was kind of... They didn't dye her hair, but it was the same thing that she was considered to be evil.
That's so ridiculous, too. That's ridiculous. Because scientifically, it's just because their mom had sex with a goat doesn't mean that the kid should be punished.
Just because they're mutants.
So what if the goat could talk?
Yeah.
And
just because they're the spawn of a talking goat from the woods that no one's supposed to go into, that doesn't make it their fault.
Yeah, have a bite of that apple. It's not a big deal.
This is really annoying. We have to be kinder to people that have snake spirits in them, right?
Well, speaking of, go kiss your redhead, but beware.
Please enjoy.
They might take your soul.
This segment of Science Talk.
Here's more from just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Do you have your bug in bag ready to go?
Bugger in bag?
No. Your bug in bag. Everybody knows what a bug out bag is these days, don't they?
Sure.
That's in case the apocalypse comes. You want to have a bag that has all your important gear so you can get to the next drop site or whatever. Usually in there you're going to have a zombie spray, zombie repellent.
Baseball
bat too.
Bear mace will usually work.
Okay, you're going to want a Rambo survival knife.
Yeah, all-purpose knife, axe utility tool, paracord.
Samurai sword.
Size nunchucks.
Signed concert shirt from 30 Seconds to Mars, except you didn't get Jared Leto's signature.
So you can use it as a first aid tourniquet thing.
Or Kindle.
Sig Sauer 9mm with one round, just in case stuff goes really bad.
Perfect.
Picture of you and your prom date. Mm-hmm. All the important stuff that you need to survive, okay? So
memories.
Bug in bag is because, you remember the freeze from last February.
Yep.
Basically, Texans, they're not admitting it out loud. The state won't admit it, but state officials all around are saying, look, the grid isn't fixed. There's a very good chance this could happen again. We didn't get anything fixed over the last year.
Woo.
And we want you to protect yourself. In fact, this is an official from Austin. He was being interviewed, from KXN, what do we need to have in that bag?
So we're talking about important documents, any medication that you might need, water for a few days, non-perishable food for a few days. And thinking about your pet too, want to make sure that you've got pet supplies to last you as long as you plan to be there. You got to keep that pet in mind as well. Also, big picture, first aid kit, chargers, batteries, a flashlight in case the power goes out.
Yeah, they have really good charging kits that batteries that will hold a chunk for a good while that you can get, because if your phone dies, what are you going to do? Where are you going to play Sudoku?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, or Wordly. My thing that concerns me the most in that is that the official said, you're going to want pet supplies. And I hadn't thought about that, but he also said, pet supplies for as long as you plan to be there.
I feel like
no one plans on being locked in or snowed in or snowpocalypsed in. No one has ever made that plan. So that part would made me... Wait, do they know more than we do?
Do they know
how long they're turning on the snow?
I mean, this was an extra special, difficult case because even if you had four-wheel drive, I don't think anyone in Austin, I grew up in Amarillo, so I was used to having tire chains, which you put on to drive in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you have four-wheel drive and all-terrain tires, in the snowstorm that happened, it's still difficult because it was ice, snow, and Austin didn't have anything to clear it.
I didn't have any tire chains, but I was able to collect all of the broken Apple charge cords in my house and tie those around since I have 7,000 of them where they've frayed there at the end, and I wrapped those around the
wires
tires.
Get grip.
Yeah, I got great grip. Great
grip. The extra bizarre thing about this last storm was not only was the power off, grocery stores had been ransacked before it happened, but you really couldn't leave. No. It was really difficult for most people to get out of their driveways, to get onto the road, or to go anywhere because we don't have the fleets of vehicles to salt the roads and clear the snow away.
Yeah, during that particular snowpocalypse, it would have been very dangerous for me to get back on the roads because I was hammered for 4 days, dude. I was hammered for 4 days. It was an absolute blast.
I went and rescued some friends because we had power most of the time. The water... water was an issue, but I had a nonstop rolling boil of melting snow to flush the toilet thing. But I went and rescued two of my friends, and they brought like a pillow, some change of clothes, and they each had a backpack filled with all their liquor. And just
hell yeah, they knew what's up.
In those
That'll
3 days, we hung out together. We just got hammered. And speaking of liquor, in the end times, it's a very good tool to barter with. So make sure to include that in your
that or bullets.
That was the problem is that in that apocalypse movie that Kevin Costner made called Waterworld, that's a notorious flop. In fact, it's a cult hit because it was such a flop about how in the future we barter with water or whatever. Liquor world would have been much better. Just the idea of in the future, it's all
Everyone's
about liquor.
Just hammered and angry.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
It's time for MILF Mountain.
If your kid is a sarcastic jerk, congratulations. It's actually a good thing. I've been researching it quite a bit, and they found out, guess what? Young children don't understand, generally speaking, sarcasm. They don't get sarcasm. Science is telling me, though, that the mental acrobats that you have to go through to understand sarcasm, if a younger kid is getting sarcasm,
smart.
It's Hell a yeah. sign of intelligence. It's also a sign that they have a flexible brain, which means that as they encounter problems later in life, I don't mean just like marital problems or I can't pay the bills, big things. It's really going to help them think in special things like
in different ways, not be so locked in into A is A. Like,
correct.
Yeah.
So when things happen like, a pandemic comes along and everyone's like, I'm so tired, I don't know what to do. They're going to be able to emotionally weather those kind of storms a lot better than somebody else who's a little more rigid.
Yeah.
Someone like my son who likes to eat the exact same meal at the exact same time every single day.
Yes.
Yeah.
And throws a fit if it doesn't happen. A son that likes to insult Uncle CJ's bringing of Star Wars Legos. Yeah,
well, I get it. You didn't get the hint.
Yeah.
Old famous.
I love him.
He's great. The old famous writer, Oscar Wilde, you probably know. He's got a kind of a mean thing that's famous. Sarcasm is the lowest form of wit. But you know what? He's super smart and everybody loved him. Mm. As moving sarcastic.
Got him,
him good. Quite a few psychologists, psycholinguists, researchers at the University of Calgary have said, look, here's the deal. If a child is, child's brains develop a little more slowly, right? They don't understand everything. But typically speaking, when you start to see sarcasm in a child, especially by a preteen or teen, you are seeing the development of somebody who has the capacity to understand others' intentions, and it becomes more sophisticated with age. So I hate to try to find the silver lining because it would be a lot easier just to go, I hate my kid. We've all been there. We've all been there, and I understand the feeling, and I understand it without judgment. Those of you parents sitting in the pickup line here somewhere. But take it to heart. It actually means that they're going to be able to figure things out more. Like when it comes time to put you in a home, they'll be able to understand and be able to look at different contracts and know which home to stick you in,
oh,
Mom and Dad.
It doesn't smell in here at all, Mom.
Time for your pudding.
101X. Here's more Matt and CJ.
Technology's catching up to the Girl Scouts. Welcome to CJ's Fat. Did you know Girl Scout cookies can now be delivered by DoorDash? You don't even have to get up off your ass to answer the door, to talk to him outside of the grocery store, to go to your coworker upstairs in the office whose kiddo's selling them. Nope. You can now DoorDash Girl Scout cookies.
Wow.
I know. That's incredible. Just taking the business to the next level.
So when the DoorDash guy comes to the door, do I go, sorry, I don't have any cash right now, I see the Girl Scouts outside of a Walgreens or whatever? I can't open good.
Well, you can't do that with the Girl Scouts anymore because one of the parents will be like, oh, we have a Square. We take cards. You can Venmo us. Oof. The good ones know how to hustle and take that electronic stuff too. But now this is even bigger. But my only concern with this would be it feels like it's kind of cutting the Girl Scouts out of it. Mm-hmm. I think a big part of it is the girls,
the middleman,
learning
middle
to
girl.
Sell, to interact with people. It seems like a fun adventure that they get to go do this.
CJ, quick question I could interrupt. How many daughters do you have?
Zero.
Okay, thank you.
I just wanted
to clarify this because it used to be about fundraising and setting the girls out there to learn some of these skills. But over the years, what has happened is, you know what a stage mom is, don't you? Well, there are scout moms, and so they get involved because they want their daughter to be the best, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so a lot of these girls, very few of these young women are waking up on a Saturday and saying, Mom, will you do me a favor? Can you help me? I've decided this. I would like to lug this card table out and stand in front of H-E-B all day. Mm-hmm. It's usually a mom or somebody saying, we're going to do this. We're going to win. Because if we sell 75,000 boxes of these to your uncles, aunts, and grandparents, essentially, because that's who's buying most of it, then after the 75,000 boxes we sell, you can win a Walkman.
Yeah, it's just like, so what am I going to do like that?
Yeah, the prizes are always a little obscure or whatever. Now, that's about the girls. Let's talk about us.
Let's talk about the things we care about. Them cookies.
Yeah, and that part is nice because, let's face it, Girl Scout cookies are delicious, if not a wee bit overpriced.
Give me your go-to three.
Go to three?
Yeah. Wow. This is called CJ's Fat, so I had to narrow it down to my three favorites.
Okay, I'll do that. Of course, on everybody's list, the Thin Mint.
Thin Mint's easy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Agreed.
You pop those in the fridge or the freezer or both?
Do I?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. They don't really have time to get cold and how quickly I'm going to eat them.
True.
Straight out the crate.
Yeah. Next. Do I want to go with lemon sandwich? Do I want to go with peanut butter sandwich? Do I want to go with caramel delight on this side of the Mississippi or Samoas on some other side of the Mississippi?
That was one of my favorites, but they don't call them Samoas anymore because of
I think people said it sounds
liberals.
So much like you're sounding like Samoans who are people. I like the coconut. I'll say the Samoa. I mean, sorry, excuse me. The caramel delight is the new name for it.
That's a good mouth sitter. You take a bite and you let that sit in your mouth and ruminate.
I knew I'm a good mouth sitter once, and it was a long time ago.
Okay,
and let's talk about the last thing. And you guys might take umbrage with this. That means
I don't like it.
But the trefoil.
Okay.
The standard Girl Scout cookie that looks like the logo, that's that little shortbread cookie.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wait, no, you're right. Those are good.
That's my fiance always orders these she brings them from her office and always gets the ass nasty ass cookies, that being one of them, which I do not like. Here is the best Girl Scout cookie. It is it's very simple. It's like an Oreo. It's just the peanut butter one.
Right, it's the peanut butter sandwich.
And the reason why the peanut butter sandwich is the best is if you're a milkman like I am when it comes to cookies, it has the best milk retention while not falling apart into the milk. It soaks it up just deliciously, just like an Oreo.
Excellent.
And it tastes
excellent
great.
Observation.
Okay.
And other than the Samoan and the Thin Mint, it holds up the best over the years if you forget a box somewhere.
Okay. Your Honor, if I may... objection.
Sustained.
You don't hit the gavel when you sustain. I think you only hit it when you overrule.
Oh, no, overruled on that.
No, you but hit, I want you to sustain it because I need to...
Well,
need
it's detained.
Let the man speak.
Sustained,
let him speak.
But your gavel hitting remark is overruled.
Okay, I don't know what this means.
This court.
Here's why the trefoil shortbread cookie is so good. All of those boxes of cookies, I've watched them go up in price over the years. They're not exactly cheap, right? There are 400 of those shortbread cookies inside one box. Whereas something like the Caramel Delights, because they've put that plastic sleeve inside of there now, there's only like 12 of them in the box. And I don't know if you know this, but 12 Caramel Delight cookies, I'm done with that in under 10 minutes.
That goes quick.
Yeah.
So you're saying also the added value of more bang for your buck.
Because any trefoil can be made into a peanut butter sandwich cookie.
Or a dipper. You can get some vanilla ice cream.
You can get Nutella.
Yes, boys.
Right, so you're saying it's the value of the box. You're also saying it's more flexible than the other flavors.
Also, if you go to one, like the Fiesta is like the big one, but there's like a El Ranchero near my house, stuff like that. Nice. They had this cajeta that's in a jar. It's like a caramel sauce that you can dip in there.
Ooh. So what's the worst cookie then? I got to say the lemon something, whatever those are, the lemon shortbread. They're just, it's just tastes like powdery sour in your mouth.
You got the lemon sandwich ones though still, right?
Or? Yeah. What he's talking about is the trefoil that I've been talking about.
Am I?
Yeah. There's a lemon
sandwich. I thought
you were
talking about the little like kind of almost cracker looking ones.
Oh yeah, that is what, well.
We're so confused.
I will tell you what the worst cookie is.
Okay.
It's the one that Fred Durst did it all for.
101X, Matt and CJ.
It is time to get your life in order. And I'm going to try to help you do that. Matt recommends.
Alas.
I pick tiny things from my life that have helped me out and little hacks and throw them your way. Maybe they'll help a couple of you out. CJ, at the beginning of every year, do you do things like put together New Year's resolutions, say, I'm going to get more organized this year, put things together, or do you care about that?
Yeah, I kind of do little things. I did my taxes from the year before, finally.
Good for you.
So
proud of you.
Is that?
Well, one of the things is everybody goes out and you can get a new calendar and say this is your. I have found
finally going to be my year, guys.
There's all these systems that you can use, and Franklin Covey, something like that. There's all these stores you can go to in the mall, and they'll sell you a daily planner, and you get excited, and then they sell you a planner.
This is going to be it. I'm going to change. I'm going to do this. I'm spending money. I did go to the Container Store, so there's that.
Yeah, but a lot of times what you're doing is you're really getting a bunch of gear, and that gear is keeping you from just doing what you need to do, which is developing the habit of
getting
a bit more organized. So I'm going to tell you, if you want gear, I'm going to put it in the cheap for you. One of the things that's going to help you out a whole lot in your life, I have become addicted to the Sharpie fine point pen, not the fine point marker.
Okay, the fine point
fine pen. Point pen. Here's why. One,
it fits up your butt better.
Come on.
Yeah. Well,
this
that's
is an
true.
Educational show.
Also, it's permanent ink and it doesn't smear. It dries immediately. So if you're writing,
I'm
it doesn't
left-handed,
go everywhere.
So yeah, that's a
it's perfect for lefties.
Cool.
Here's the other thing. I have a habit of when I'm done writing or I get up from someplace, I do this. I always stick a pen right here in a front pocket.
And if you forget and throw that pair of jeans in the wash.
Well, a big problem I had is because my big old fat ass sits down, old pens would break and they would leak everywhere, and then I would ruin pairs of jeans. Doesn't happen. You can get on a flight, do whatever. And then don't go and waste your money on one of those fancy designer books and all that. Index cards. Stack of 4 or 5 index cards. You put one of those little binder clips on it. You write out your notes, your to-dos or whatever for the day, analog style. And then when you're done with it, chunk it. I don't want to carry around a notebook with a bunch of stuff that happened in the past, and I don't want a bunch of extra pages that I don't need for the future. So I have just exactly what I need right there inside of a binder clip. It's small. It goes in your pocket
pretty easily.
Throw it right in your purse if you got a purse, whatever it is, and it works out. One other thing that I'll throw out there, and I'm trying to learn this habit, because people talk about journaling, which has always sounded, I don't know, douche chill to me. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Who am I writing to in this journal? This is just going to be
Someone in the future is going to want to read my tales.
Yeah, no, but no, anybody no. in the future is going to change their mind about what we're doing currently, and we're all going to be canceled by future generations who are going to be like, I can't believe they did this, right? So yeah. I don't want
to put that pin all the way up where?
Yeah, I don't want a paper trail for them. But some guy I was reading about turned me on to this idea of bullet journaling. You just write down like three sentences from each day. Have you heard about that?
Yeah, I have.
I actually, last year, I bought a fancy journal to do just bullet journaling. That way I could be like, oh, what did we do on this day? Oh, we went to an Austin FC game. Right. And then, you know, by February, I gave up.
Right. Well, so. I bought something, and I'll let you know how it goes. I bought something called a 3-year diary, and it's one little book. And you can start it at any point in the year, and it only has room for like three sentences. So it's kind of like appealing because I'm like, this book has given me permission to not really work on this.
I have to like make a big thing out of it.
When you write all the way through it, when you get to the done, you go back to the beginning, and then wherever you started exactly a year later is where you'll be writing underneath it. So there's three little sections on each page.
So it's almost like Facebook's on this day.
It is exactly like that.
I like that.
The reason I want to do it is that I am trying to be a better parent. And
remember the moments you have with your kids.
Exactly.
Because they're growing up now.
Well, and I'm having that realization where I look at them and I go, wow, they really are going to be out of the house really soon. Because when I first had them and it completely ruined going out and having a blast, I really resented those kids. Man, did I resent those kids. But now that I'm starting to love them, I'm realizing, wow, it's going to be over soon. And it's a nice way just to kind of...
to look back and think of all the fights you had and had to yell at them and all the times they were mad at you and ignored you.
But last note, speaking of that, I'm starting to write down stuff that my wife and I maybe talk about. Because you know how...
Like swinging?
No, but you know how somebody you're in a relationship with can always bring stuff up and be like, what about this? And you're like, I don't know what the hell she's talking about.
I have the record of
That's
it.
That's right. Oh, receipts.
Perfect. Oh, there we
receipts.
Go.
There we go. Yeah.
Matt and CJ, 101X.
Dr. Fauci causing some controversy and made some right-wingers mad at him. Can you believe that?
Isn't that all he's been doing for 2 years?
Oh, yeah, that's very true. But more recently, his etiquette and attitude towards someone has really sparked a lot of online anger. We both work in the media business, and what do they usually say when you're around microphones?
What do they usually say when you're around microphones?
If you're around microphones.
Speak up.
Well,
give him a little kiss.
Make sure it's not on.
Lick it. Make sure it's not on. Yeah. Watch out for a hot mic.
Yeah, I've done that before. In fact, I had an entire conversation about an advertiser once.
While the microphone was on. Yeah.
Now, people just were like, what's he talking about? Because it was during another song. But it's luckily... But it was, because it wasn't great.
It can get you in a lot of trouble, especially in our business. We say a lot of the most messed up jokes to make each other laugh with the mics off, but a lot of people have been burned by it. There was a famous newscaster that had just moved to, like, evening sports, and before the camera went to him, you could hear him shuffling his papers and going, oh, F, just cussing a lot.
Right.
And then it cuts to him, and he's like, all right, well, the blah, 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 lost that job pretty quick. It can burn a lot of people, but here's why everyone is mad at Fauci. It's because of something he said to a state senator, I believe, let me see who that was. That was... he was caught on mic S-talking Senator Roger Marshall. It's at the very end of this clip. I'm going to start it early on. I've kind of edited this so it's a little shorter, but, you know, Marshall's asking him questions during a public inquiry, and when he's done and he thinks his mic is off, he drops something pretty hilarious.
You've got me leaning in, dude.
As the highest paid employee in the entire federal government, yes or no, would you be willing to submit to Congress and the public a financial disclosure that includes your past and current investments? After all, your colleague, Dr. Walensky, and every member of Congress submits a financial disclosure that includes their investments.
I don't understand why you're asking me that question. My financial disclosure is public knowledge and has been so for the last 37 years or so, 35 years that I've been director.
The big tech giants are doing an incredible job of keeping it from being public. We'll continue to look for it. Where would we find it?
All you have to do is ask for it.
I cannot find them. Our office cannot find them. Where would they be if they're public knowledge? Where?
It is totally accessible to you if you want it.
For the public. Is it accessible to
the public? To the public.
Great. We look forward to reviewing it.
You are totally incorrect.
Well, we look forward to reviewing it.
Senator Marshall, Dr. Fauci has answered you. It is public information, and he's happy to give it to you if you would ask.
What a moron. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so he was backing off and turning his mic down, but I had to turn it up a little. But
yeah, nice.
You can hear him say, "What a moron, Jesus Christ!" And people are pissed about that for Fauci not being a professional.
I'm sorry,
he was.
Fauci was not being very professional right there.
That's what we've decided.
Calling a United States senator a moron. I mean, you
call
can't just
him
do
like
that.
You see him.
You gotta respect our government leaders, right? Yeah,
depending on what. I mean, so that's a two-way road then? Is it not?
I guess so. Yeah,
we can talk ass all we want about Fauci, but when he says one sort of negative thing about an actual moron, God.
No. Nope.
Well, also, we had a former president was bad-mouthing a former candidate. They ran against him, but the Texas state senator, the president of bad-mouth, regularly bad-mouthed Ted Cruz. And mm-hmm. What is it? They're on the same team, so that one isn't really bad-mouthing a senator or whatever.
I guess not.
I am glad that you're able to pump that up, because there's just something about I like how angry people get at Fauci, because Fauci's what, 5'2" and 90 pounds? And he's feisty. He's a feisty one. That guy's got to be exhausted.
Jesus Christ.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X. And now it's time for the Nerd Report.
I just wanted to say that I'm a nerd.
Apple says no thank you to the metaverse.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I guess they don't want to necessarily be a part of it. And for those of you that don't know what the metaverse is, it's a place where you can put on a headset and you can go shopping, you can communicate with friends, you can play games. It's virtual reality. It's where you go to disappear to live. And Apple is anticipated to make great strides in the realm of augmented reality and VR. As a matter of fact, they believe the company's going to release a mixed reality headset, going to be announced later on this year. But in an interview talking about if the Apple headset will be a full metaverse or just focus on AR and VR, they were kind of thinking it's more or less going to just be for VR purposes, not for complete immersion into the metaverse, not for that sort of thing, but just playing games, having fun.
Can I guess as a reason why?
Sure.
Well, since they won in this universe, maybe they're like, we don't really need to try
jump
in the made-up one.
Second universe. Yeah,
I don't know if you noticed who is
the
biggest, most important company in the history of all known history. But we're the guys, so never mind. Thanks. You guys go have fun in your other universe you're creating where you can try to be more important than us.
And we'll keep the bodies plugged into that and run you Machine World Matrix. There we go. It's going to be Apple. We figured it out.
For $29.99 a month.
Our coworker was talking yesterday about trying out the Oculus for the first time. And he was like, yeah, my buddy had me do this roller coaster game. And then I was mountain climbing. And if you fall, and I was like, no. Yes, that stuff seems cool. But when you're stoned and drunk and you're putting that headset on, it's going to make you sick. Makes you feel weird. I'll tell you the game you play, a game that Spencer and I played together at my house. It's a game called Drunken Bar Fight.
Look, man, even if you're not playing that and you're going to Walmart to shop in the metaverse, that's what it's going to end up being anyway, I think.
That's what
I'm going to do. I'm going to throw my card around and try to put it on people's
avatars. Just try to fight people. Yeah, Drunken Bar Fight's hilarious. You can throw darts at people, pick up beer bottles. It turns into a whole brawl. I think Spencer knocked a painting off my wall. Like
I was trying to juggle a wine bottle.
That is the game you play, and it is absolutely incredible and awesome. And the animation, it doesn't make you feel weird with that kind of uncanny valley thing that you can get where the human face looks bizarre. They look like Weebles. They're purposely kind of cartoon character looking. So don't, if you're going to start off in virtual reality, in the AR, with the goggles on, start with Drunken Bar Fight. It's so much more fun than anything else you're ever going to be able to play or do right now.
We don't use it because I don't want my kids are a little young to be doing Drunken Bar Fight. But
understandable.
If you're a parent and you're doing the same thing I am, here's a hint. There's a bowling game, and during the bowling game, you can bowl with people from across the, across the planet. You can hear them talking, and it's kind of cool. Fun because you can challenge. They're playing next to you or whatever, but you don't have to sign in a game with them. But they're there. And you can take your bowling ball, and there's nothing that says the bowling ball has to go down the lane. So you can actually release it.
On someone else's?
And you can start fights with them.
And so people are getting pissed because they're you're screwing up their perfect game.
They have a button they can hit, and then there's a you know, with people who a moderator who would then kicks you out of the game.
Report you for it, yeah.
Yeah, but for the first 10 minutes, coming it's back a blast. In. Yeah. It's a blast. There you go. Absolutely.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Hooray, Austin. A big list of new restaurants came out today. Just flooding out there. Stuff that's on the horizon. Let's do a quick rundown. Uptown Sports Club. It's going to be over there on the east side of 6th Street, actually east of the freeway. Uptown Sports Club is a building that's been vacant, historically vacant, for a very long time, right there in the what people call the Far East 6th Street edition. Franklin Barbecue Maven, Aaron Franklin's teaming up with James Moody from the Mohawk. They both have a festival in town called Hot Luck Music and Food Festival. They've been working on this actually for a really long time, and this summer they're going to launch it. It's going to be a menu that's going to have things like po' boys, gumbo, breakfast, good stick-to-your-rib food coming from Aaron Franklin.
I was going to say, this sounds like a disaster until you just mentioned those two names. And then I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know how some buildings are just like,
that's a haunted building.
You cannot
building,
keep a business in it?
Well, the family that owned that business for a long time just didn't want anybody in there. It was really hard because it was one of those buildings that had been passed down to grandkids.
Yeah.
So all the grandkids couldn't get really on one page about it. And they finally got it all worked out and negotiated. I think everyone's excited. Este is a brand new restaurant that's coming to Manor Road, where the old East Side Cafe used to be. This one excites me because it's from the team behind Suerte. I don't know if you've been to Suerte, but they make something there called the Suadero Taco. And it is, it's on my top
list. Dude, have you driven down Manor recently?
Not since I moved.
In 1 year, it's incredible how different it is. Manor looks, it might as well be South Rainy Street now.
Really?
I mean, just giant, massive condos. A lot of the same, like, good restaurants are still there. Yeah. I'm talking about, like, right around the little Haymaker area. I forgot the name of that restaurant we used to go to. But it's just, it's blown up. It is.
Well, good. I'm glad that I moved before everything got popular and cool.
It was worth a lot of money.
I was just there when all you could really get was a crack pipe, but it worked out nicely for me. This one I'm excited about because I've heard about this restaurant for a long time. It's from Vancouver. It's called Meat and Bread, and it's one of those restaurants that gets named in a lot of like top restaurants and a lot of times
beard when they're award-winning.
Or also, you know, when they do those cooking shows where they travel. They always go to Meat and Bread. They make things like a meatball sandwiches and porchetta. Have you ever had porchetta? It's not as popular down here in the South, but way up north, it's they take a giant pork loin, they butterfly it all out, they put all these spices and salts and stuff, and then roll it back up and slow cook it.
Ooh.
It is sublime. Anyway, only location they'll have in America is opening up on Nueces downtown, and it's opening up in just a little bit, in fact, right here in Austin. And
Oh, I just have a quick tip. You know when you slow cook those things, how you wrap them and rope them up? You know when you're cooking a big piece of meat?
Here comes a joke.
No,
this is
going to
be something
joke.
About my butthole. I know
it
you.
It just made me think of this. If you're doing that, don't use a polymer-based piece of string because that's just plastic that will then melt into your meat. And that's my cooking tip of the day.
Did you just say don't wrap it up in plastic? Okay.
Yeah, go ahead. cool restaurants in town.
Spencer, did you think he was getting ready to say something about a b-hole or something? Didn't it feel kinda. Like he was loading up a joke?
A little bit. He usually does.
I'm sorry I disappointed everyone.
Finally, this is the thing I am the most excited about. If you followed along with my Talktober when I ate tacos for every meal during the month of October.
Oh, there's a new taco bar where they don't have just bar stools but just pogos you can sit straight on.
See, I knew the butthole joke was coming eventually.
We made it.
One of my favorite taco trailers in the entire city. In fact, in my entire life is called Mi Trailita. And I love this place. It's in a Chevron parking lot. And I think a lot of Austinites are intimidated when they go by. And they are afraid to go up to it. And it is incredible. incredible. Very simple, very ordinary tacos, but very well done. Well, me, Trey Lita,
the sauce comes in a bag wrapped up.
Oh, yeah.
That's when you know it's legit.
And I always even say to people, I'm like, hey, if you buy a taco for the two guys that are sitting there drinking beer in the morning, they'll give you good stories. I wrote about that. Then three people were like, hey, there was actually two guys. I was like, yeah, no, they live right there.
Serious.
They're always, always there underneath the tarp. Anyway, just down the road, they are expanding to a physical restaurant.
All right.
I'm very excited.
Cool.
I love when I watch somebody.
Yeah.
The gentleman who's in that trailer hustles every day. He's so cool. He's very nice. Makes incredible tacos. And I'm really excited to see him kind of moving up the ladder, being able to get that brick and mortar. I think the brick and mortar is going to be a little more inviting for the general public and not people who are taco hounds like myself.
Yeah,
and I think it's going to really allow him to get his art out there.
Expand.
A lot more people. Super excited. That's going to be 5706 Manor. I know most of these things were east side, but really,
that's good food, isn't
it? That's where a lot of the restaurant action is happening. I'll be back in a month with more restaurant news.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
COVID test recently cost an Austin couple big. And no, I'm not talking about the ones you find on eBay, the ones that a buddy's selling you. I'm talking from a legit medical place. Cost them a pretty penny, and they were shocked and flabbergasted at the amount they had to pay.
Wait, I thought you were going to say it cost them big because they got positive and they had to cancel a flight or something. You're saying the actual cost for taking a test?
Yeah, here's
the test. Okay, I'm
the test should what be free?
Yeah, I think they should be
cheap.
Free. Yeah,
absolutely. I had some family members get back from Europe a year ago, and they said, "Oh, well, you just have to make an appointment for your test, but the government pays for it."
Well, their healthcare system is a little more figured out.
It is, but it was also funny listening to them talk about how messed up it is over here and how in Europe they do this, Europe they do that, but they're real right wing, so I wanted to be like, sounds like socialism, but I didn't say anything. Anyhow.
Baby steps.
Here's KXAN with the story.
Okay.
Back in September, Suli Luque and her husband wanted to get away. They decided to hike the Inca Trail to Machu Picchu. Like many Americans, before jetting off, they needed a negative COVID-19 test. So they made an appointment at the Riverside Austin Emergency Center, one of the many freestanding emergency rooms in Texas. But when she returned to Austin, she and her husband had a letter in the mail from their insurance company. It said the service they got was not covered under their insurance and that they were responsible for nearly $2,000 per test.
$4,000 altogether.
For you to get
To get a COVID test. And like, I'm telling you, nothing more than just them sticking that thing up my nose. And it did not take more than a few minutes for them to do that.
$4,000. And KXAN investigated a little more. And just for that type of test, insurance doesn't cover it. And as you said, whenever they revealed they went to one of those emergency clinic centers.
Right.
Because it says here on the news story that they don't just charge the price of the test, but they charge for standard ER visit.
Correct.
Lab charges.
Correct.
Physician charges.
Physician charges are what? We'll get you.
Yeah, they tack on everything. It's basically like going to the emergency room for a COVID test.
Remember
which
this.
Is a bummer.
If it says clinic or emergency clinic or
24-hour
clinic, something like that, you're actually okay. It's when it says ER attached to it, you need urgent care, you're okay. When it has ER attached to it, you really want to do your due diligence. I'm putting this out there because, honestly, I know we're in the business to try to sell ads and get advertisers, and I'm sure the advertising department's going to come down here pissed off at me, but I keep hearing stories of those standalone ERs taking advantage of people. And it pisses me off when
it's a bummer.
I took my son one time. We were traveling cross country. He had a really high fever all of a sudden. We
and
took him into a place.
You smacked the crap out of him to stop crying and ended up shattering his jaw. We all remember this.
Well, I was being careful and I called ahead and I said, this is my insurance. Am I in network to use this insurance? And they said, yes, you are in network. They checked out my son. They said, he seems fine. And they gave him Midol, and we left. Not my doll. That's for cramps. What am I trying to? Advil.
Excedrin, yeah, something.
And we got home. It turned out he actually wasn't fine. And they tested him, and they're like, he actually has mono. And so he had to get a whole nother. So they didn't even treat what it was. They only charged us the copay, $250 for an ER. But they were like, oh, no, we also ran a lab test, which was separate, and that wasn't in-network, so that was $700. And then the physician who saw us charges $3,600 for a physician visit. Now,
that is bad. What kind of place did you take me to when I broke my back?
Urgent care. And that's why I said, hey, I'm not letting you go. I'm going with you. We're not going. It still might be costly, but the difference between a $250 copay and thousands of dollars is enormous.
Also, the difference between a hospital and where you and I went together is the place I went to was clearly just for drug testing and not actual any kind of real medical stuff. They were all seemingly very confused that there was an ailing injured patient there and not just someone trying to get a job or pass their probation.
I love the fact that they clearly did a lot of drug tests, and right when you walked in, the guy goes, I don't need blood or urine. You're positive.
101X. Here's more Matt and CJ.
Greyhound bus for people who need to get somewhere and think that they might but probably won't, and living up to its stereotype. Any of you guys ever ride the Greyhound anywhere?
Just for sports. My dad's got some stories, but I only when it was chartered.
You never were actually traveling.
Yeah,
when I was a road comic and spending a lot of time on the road, sometimes I didn't want to drive, and I would take the Greyhound. In fact, I think I've spent close to 1,000 hours on a Greyhound bus.
Is that a step up or a step below the Omnibus?
It's below, and by the way, that thousand hours was just to get from here to San Antonio. It is. they are not quick moving, my friend, and I've seen amazing things. I've talked about Eddie Gosling on this show before. He's the head writer for Tosh.0. He had a great joke about Greyhound. Just on a Greyhound, a shoebox is a laptop computer. It is an interesting place, and you see all kinds of folks from the world. And I had interesting things happen. You really tried to look as scary as possible when you got on a Greyhound so that no one would sit next to you because the last thing you needed to do was get in a conversation with somebody else whose life was going as poorly as yours was
that you'd be on a Greyhound.
Well, a group of 22 passengers, nearly two dozen, in fact, are on a Greyhound. They went to the bus stop in North Abilene on Monday morning. The bus stop there, there's no actual station anymore, so the station is, can you guess? It's Abilene. Where is the bus station?
In the desert?
No, it's a 7-Eleven. It's much nicer.
Yeah, okay,
that's convenient.
That's right. So the bus
they got snacks.
The bus pulled up at 7, and they do that. They make these periodic stops so that you can all go to the
bathroom, get a drink.
Exactly. Hit the bong.
Let's be real. Yeah, everyone smoke cigarettes and get high.
Yeah. So, and it was scheduled to depart at 6 p.m., so all the riders got back on the bus, and they waited at 6:15, 6:30, you know the Great Resignation?
Yeah, that's happening in our country right now. People quitting their jobs.
Yeah, bus driver was fed up and just left.
Left his entire bus full of people in Abilene?
Yeah. Here's the thing that I find it's amazing is, of all places, they're stuck in Abilene, right?
Yeah.
They were there for over 8 hours because the bus system had to scramble to find another bus to send for them. Linda Nunn, who was on the bus, said he just left. This is unacceptable. I'm sorry, Linda, but that ticket in your hand says Greyhound. You will already accept a really
pretty
much. Yeah, you have already said when you purchased that, I am admitting that I've made some mistakes in life, and this is just what I got to do. There used to be a time when taking a bus was a much cheaper alternative to flying, and that's why you did it.
But now there's Spirit Airlines and.
Oof. Over the years that I started taking the Greyhound, it started becoming more and more expensive. And then it turned out that sometimes I was like, oh my God, it's $50 more to do a round trip ticket than it is for me to take the bus to wherever I had to go. Plus, the flights were 3 hours each way,
as opposed to
26 hours of straight driving each way. Yeah, I remember one time when I had to go up to Minnesota. And it's just like, oh, why? Why are we even on the bus anymore? And I know what
it
is.
And you got paid, like, what, $40 to do a stand-up show for the weekend, or were you making more than that?
Yeah, no, I made good bank.
Okay,
I made good bank.
I was just going to say, like, that's
it's
a lot of traveling.
Just starting
for...
up, man.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, when I first started out, I mean, a week would be maybe $800, something like that.
So it was $1,200.
Yeah, no, once I started making some real money, though, I mean, that was early on. Then you get up into, you know, your base pay is like $2,000, plus there's bonuses attached to that, depending on how many people show up. And then that's when I started, like, I would sometimes drive, sometimes fly. Sometimes I'd spend the money, and the comedy club would be like, hey, you can stay in this comedy condo. And I'd be like, okay.
And that's worse than a Greyhound bus.
Yeah, so then I would just be like, no, I'm going to go stay. And sometimes I'd put myself up in a nice hotel and pretend that I was actually really successful, which kind of sucks. You'd come on and be like, I have no money after working for a week, but who cared? I was never getting married. I was never having children. I was going to live a fun life for the rest
traveling
of my life.
Traveling the country, being a famous comic, not a down-and-out shock jock wannabe.
How life changes. 101X,
Matt and CJ. Always, always tip your bartender. Tip them good, tip them well, especially if you sit at the bar, especially if you're a regular, especially if you're going to commit a crime that the video footage later goes viral and the bartender happens to recognize the people he's seeing on the television.
Yeah, I always tip my bartender. I put a quarter right here on my thumb and I go, ping!
There you go, thanks!
Nice.
Yeah. The two men accused of vandalizing a Key West landmark were recognized and arrested by police.
It's because, a buoy. Yes, I read about this. They set the very famous buoy on fire.
On fire, yeah.
Right, I read about this.
And, you know, grainy video footage.
Right.
You can't really recognize
them. And I
them.
Thought, well, they're never catching these two dudes.
No, a Key West bartender recognized one of the guys because the guy occasionally comes into his bar. The guy never tips, and so he remembered that face. He remembered that guy and really contacted the authorities. Yeah, they say, as the burning tree torched the beloved landmark, a webcam streamed live footage of the vandals in the act. When he awoke that morning and saw the images, bartender Cameron Brody immediately recognized one of the faces. It was a guy Brody had served on New Year's Eve at Irish Kevin's, a bustling bar on the city's famed Duval Street. The information from Brody helped police track down two men who have now been arrested in connection with the crime. Both of them 21, one from Florida, one from Henrietta, Texas. They face criminal charges.
Oh,
and,
man, why do we have to have a
Texan
in there? I'm sorry, I stepped on you.
It's
on
Florida
you talking,
and Texas,
but
dude. Of course, it's, it goes
know.
Hand in hand.
Why do our states
basically
have to come together for
Steve
evil?
Brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if the dude had tipped the bartender well, do you think the bartender would have been like, oh, crap, I know that guy? Or the bartender would have just been like, they'll fix it.
No, but
you know?
The bartender wouldn't have been as vocal afterwards as, I'm the guy that fingered that dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
Whoopsies.
Sorry, I meant
Daddy,
like,
would you like some sausage?
Daddy, would you like some?
But yeah, he was. That was great because he had a vendetta against that guy because the guy's a crappy tipper, a drunk, obviously went out and did something messed up, and the bartender was like, oh, now I'm going to get you back, biatch.
Yeah.
And got it back in the best way.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You can, if somebody's been serving you for a while and you stiff them on a tip, they remember.
Oh, they remember.
It hurts, dude.
Yep, yep, yep.
Oh, it sucks. It sucks.
I will say, I'm no longer in the service industry, thank goodness, because it is stressful and crappy, especially when you have those regulars that just don't tip. But what I love is I'm in some service industry Facebook groups, and you'll hear like, oh, so-and-so just left Lavaca Street Bar, and he's walking towards Kung Fu Saloon. I'm just saying names of bars.
Right, I know.
But they communicate with each other. They're like, oh, hey, the TABC just left Barton Springs Saloon. They're heading towards Chewy's.
Hell,
you know,
yeah.
It's that kind of...
You're being narc right now.
Camaraderie. Yeah.
I'm
well,
not
well,
that.
Well,
I mean...
Yeah.
Narking
yeah.
out the groups.
No one on TABC's listening.
Bartenders do talk about you, and they do communicate with their friends, and they do.
Yes.
And even when you're a regular and you think that they love you... If you ain't tipping a whole lot, they don't love you.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
may talk to you because it's part of their job or whatever, but they definitely will let another friend know. Like, or they'll say, ugh, I don't want to work Tuesdays. Tuesdays is the night Kenny comes in.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to. I can't deal with Kenny this week.
It's a lot of that. It's a lot of good stuff. Calling out bad management, people that don't pay. It's fun. And, of course, my favorite is, you know, the creeps that... hit on the bartenders and think they're their girlfriends and stuff like that. She doesn't like you. She doesn't love you. And they can find you on Facebook and see that you're married and have kids. So just little words to the wise. Always tip your bartender.
Matt and CJ, 101X.
A star got turned into spaghetti.
Spaghetti.
Billions of years ago. We just now are finding out about it. It's part of today's Weird or Wired. I look through some tech stuff, let you know whether I think it's weird or wired. And stuff. A star had a rough go of it, if you will.
So we're just now seeing the light of this explosion is just now reaching us. Is that
half a billion years ago. Okay. 500 million years ago. A star was got destructed, if you will. It passed too close to a black hole, and it causes some stars to get pulled into these long strands, and they call it being spaghettified. I didn't read that in a science book, but right now I'm telling you in my brain, it's called spaghettified.
Spaghettified.
Right? Yeah, so the star got spaghettified half a billion years ago, and that causes some very low range ripples in basically the time-space continuum. I don't know if that's the term either.
Sure, you sounded good. You got your glasses on, too.
Yeah, there's a thing called the Very Large Array Radio Telescope. I like to call it the VLART. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
That's what we in the science call it, the VLART. And it's out there in New Mexico. Well, it turns out that the VLART missed the spaghettification of the star. In
Who
fact,
found it?
Well, the waves came through our universe and were picked up in 1990, 30 years ago. And here's what I'm pretty stoked about. Ginevra Zaccagnini,
good dude,
and Jackson Codd spotted the unexpected pattern. They were doing a research internship for Harvard. They're high school kids.
Oh, yeah. So they just found some old school paperwork and were like, hey, what is that?
You know how everyone has to do their science fair projects and all that stuff? This is a little more advanced. They're obviously some pretty smart kids. But they said, we want to go through some of this stuff and look at data and how it's calculated or whatever. Well, while they were looking through it, they were like, hey, that looks like a pattern, doesn't it? But they thought, hey, we're high school kids.
What do we know?
Scientists have had this information for a really long time.
Certainly it's out there.
Clearly they know what the patterns they're looking for. Well, they started breaking down the evidence, and apparently would have been a pretty spectacular sight to have been there half a billion years ago. But they were able to put together this paper. And now a lot of other scientists, the one have already gone through school, and then they have that little button that says, I'm a scientist, which means you're allowed to perform science at a professional level.
Yeah, yeah.
Those people with the button that says, I'm a scientist, turned to these kids and said, congratulations, you're pretty awesome. And here's what I want to say. Stop telling millennials and stop telling Gen Z that they can't do anything. Guess what, boomers? Your days are numbered. You had a chance, and you had this info for a long time, and the kids are all right. This stuff was way over my head.
Here's my thing, though. Like, as a high school kid, who interns at Harvard? You intern at the golf course so you can drive around on a cart and drink beer all day.
Yeah.
And you intern at the radio station so you can get into ACL Fest for free.
Right.
You intern with the local brewery so you can drive around in a truck and go to bars all day. Who interns at Harvard?
I get what you're saying, and those are the things that we did, but where are we stuck right now after 6 p.m. while most people are home and drinking?
Oh, yeah, we're in a cold, dark radio booth talking to one dude out there.
Yeah, and these guys
at home drinking.
These guys are walking around going, I'm a scientist. Normally, this stuff would be over my head. I wouldn't really care. But I love when young people hit a home run. I'm rating this one Wired.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Two young ladies, roommates, best friends, have been charged with a felony for assaulting a man that authorities aren't sure how they knew him or what caused the fight.
I'm going to guess, so the assault was a physical altercation. They punched the guy, which is assault, as I'm assuming. Punched him, pull a knife on him, gun.
No, they threw a bunch of glitter at him.
Wow.
You're familiar with...
A guy was attacked by two clowns?
Yeah. Essentially, they threw a bunch of glitter at this dude. You've heard of glitter bombs before, right?
It's
an envelope or even sometimes they have little spring action devices and it shoots glitter everywhere. It's a pain in the ass to clean up. Vacuums don't get it. Tape doesn't get it.
No.
Nothing gets it. But these two young, lovely ladies who you can see their mugshot here, both... both smiling, they both appear very pleased with themselves, are being charged with felony accounts. The two female roommates in Florida were arrested after allegedly perpetrating a glitter attack on a male victim. According to the police, the 29 and 27-year-old were outside of the man's house at like 3 a.m. So it might be a little bit of booze, might be a little bit of drugs. They begin arguing with him while he was standing on his fenced balcony. It's unclear what they were arguing about, but they begin chucking glitter at him. One of the women jumped over the fence, threw more glitter. Another made her way into his apartment, opened the door so the other woman could come in, and guess what they did next?
Threw glitter at him.
Threw more glitter at him.
Where'd they get all this glitter?
I don't know.
It's two girls and... in Florida, they're strippers. Come on.
Yeah.
No, they are. I'm looking at their picture right now, and can you guess which one watches the purses while the other one gets drinks bought for her?
Yeah. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Right there.
Okay.
One of them is.
Stop.
She's got the look.
Let's be nice.
She's got the look. They did run off, but the police were able to track them down and find the right women because
they were covered in glitter.
A trail of glitter led police literally to where the two women were.
Yeah, it's a horrible weapon for committing crimes. You just can't get away from it.
I agree with perhaps the breaking and entering, assault charges, but felony's a little ridiculous for this. And also, ladies, if you're going to glitter bond someone, find a way to cover your
T-shirt cannon, man. Come on.
Yeah.
The look on that one girl's face in that mugshot is the look of, I'm a cute girl and I'm going to get away with this.
Yeah, it's not going to be a big deal.
That the look on her face, there's no part of that that says, shame, I'm in trouble, what have I done? It just says, hey, look, stuff happens around me, but I don't do drama.
You know what she reminds me of? Even with her look.
Every ex-girlfriend you've ever had.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's
very true.
That one was a little too close to home, but I've known you a while and I've seen some of the stuff you've been through there, buddy.
If I had lived there, I would have ended up dating this girl at this time. In San Marcos, Texas, there was a girl who got a DWI, and instead of like... she got in trouble again, basically, because she was so pissed about it that she bought a big pink motorized Barbie cart and started driving that all around San Marcos. And was just real S-y to cops every time she would get harassed or pulled over because she felt it was their fault and a big BS injustice that she got a DWI.
Let me guess. Traditionally attractive.
Very.
Yeah. Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X. So what's on tap for the evening? Big plans?
No, I feel lame because there's a lot to even do on Wednesday night. I know we talk about Thursday's the weekend in Austin and has been for a long time. It's seeming to creep to Wednesday now.
Earlier in the week.
Yeah, go out and do something, go to a show, but I'm not doing anything. I don't have Jack. The only project I've had to undertake is, you remember when we had the Christmas party at our house?
I do remember. You were sick.
Yeah.
You didn't seem to be enjoying it at all.
Yeah, I kind of just sat on the front porch and let everyone else hang.
I showed up early and there were 30 people standing silently in the corner because nobody was interacting yet. Everybody had forgotten how to party during COVID.
Yeah, no one had had a drink. But by the end of it, I mean, damn, Spinny was the last one there at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
It turned into a good party. But part of a radio station party that makes it so much fun is because of our tailgates, our events, our lounges upstairs. At the end of the year, we end up with a lot of alcohol.
Heck yeah.
That we have to get rid of because it's going to go bad. You can't just leave beer in a warm studio for a year. So we took all that to my house, and I filled a giant cooler with an assortment of all kinds of good different beer, cheap stuff, seltzers.
Champ.
Lots of it. None of it was consumed.
Just not the partying group we used to be, huh?
Well, no, we had so much liquor. Like, the next day, cleaning up all those bottles and stuff, I was like, oh, that's why no one was drinking beer and seltzers, because everyone was making...
Correct.
Like, Evan, our promotions coordinator, came and was making cocktails for people bartending. So, I've had this for a while. I was going to get rid of it on Facebook Marketplace.
Just the beer? Like, hey, come and get it?
Or I was going to drag the bulk pickup was a couple weeks ago, and you know how the guys in trailers drive by?
Yeah.
I was just going to drag it to the curb, but then I started getting paranoid that, like, oh, if a minor gets it or if something happens to someone, and then I've let it sit in the sun for too long, so now none of that crap's good.
Yeah, because it got really hot.
And I can't lift that. I can't throw those away. So what I've been doing every night this week is this is the most boring thing. I go out there and I open and I just drain cans. Just open, pop, smash the can, toss it in recycling. So that's my evening tonight. Very boring.
I'm sorry that I'm in stunned silence right now.
Why?
You are one by one opening the cans and then putting them in recycling?
Yeah. Well, letting them drain, letting them dry out, and then tossing
you
them
grew
in recycling.
Up in Lubbock?
Amarillo.
Okay. Yeah. And I grew up as a young kid in a little place called Lafayette, Louisiana, right? My dream was to find a giant load of warm beer. That I could shake up in a can.
Yeah.
You see where I'm headed, don't you?
I know exactly where you're going with
this. Did you never have a BB gun or a pellet gun growing
up? I've got a pellet gun. It's in my shed. I should just run to Walmart after this and get a whole sleeve of pellets and then just wreak havoc in my backyard.
Stack them up against your shed and like in a big giant pyramid
and just
pop, 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 pop.
When you shoot those suckers, they burst.
Yeah.
Okay. There we go. Now... I look so much forward to going home tonight.
Here's a weird thing.
Setting up my own shooting range.
Because you're younger, you go out. I usually live vicariously. That's why I ask, what are you doing this evening? But you may have to ask me to leave, like Spenny. You may have to ask me to leave at 4 a.m. I'm there just shooting cans with you.
You know what? I might even invest in a new CO2-powered pellet gun instead of my old Red Rider that you just got to cock.
That's called gear acquisition syndrome. You don't need a new gun. Get the one that you have right now. It's the best gun you have is the one that's with you.
Okay.
Matt and CJ. Afternoons, 101 FM.